Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Xi Zhi. Coming up in this edition, Russian authorities say the number of people killed in the Moscow concert hall attack has risen to 137, and four suspects are now in pre-trial custody, all charged with committing an act of terrorism. Israel has banned the United Nations from delivering humanitarian aid into northern Gaza as its troops raid two more hospitals in a Palestinian enclave. And global CEOs, leaders of international organizations and scholars have gathered in Beijing to discuss the development of China. Let's begin with Russia. Authorities say the number of deaths from Friday's terror attack on a suburban Moscow concert hall has now risen to 137. The country lowered flags to half-staff and observed a national day of mourning on Sunday. It was the deadliest attack inside Russia in the past two decades. A Moscow court has ruled that the four suspects remain in custody for 2 months as the investigation continues into who is behind the attack. The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility, while Ukraine has repeatedly denied any involvement. More details from Alyosha Milenkovich in Moscow.
An endless stream of people is heading towards the Crocus concert hall in the town of Krasnogorsk, located on Moscow's outskirts. A mountain of flowers piled up close to the burned building.
It is cold and rainy here in front of the Crocus Center, but despite those conditions, people continue to turn up to show their support for the victims of what is Russia's worst terrorist attack in two decades.
Young, old, Russians and non-Russians, all are coming here with their own thoughts and overwhelming feelings.
This is another test of Russia's strength, but I believe that they did not break us and will not break us. But our X has come. We need to think about who we are with, what we stand for, and what our priorities are.
The feeling is terrible, of course. I was in Donetsk and in Lugansk when all of a sudden this was happening here. Well, it's clear there's a war there, so it's a horror. But when everything is happening here to the people who are not involved in any way, this, of course, brings me to mean nothing but horror and indignation.
Among those who came to pay respects was Chen Yiming from Hunan province in China. He was in the Crocus food court when the shooting started and says it was the most traumatic experience of his life.
I feel very sad. At the same time, I feel very lucky that I actually, I was in this horrible situation. However, I didn't really have any accident happen with me. And the thing is, it's lucky for me and it's lucky for my family. So that's how I feel right now.
Authorities meanwhile released footage of the capture of four suspects in the area close to the town of Bryansk. They say the suspects were trying to escape to Ukraine, and the special forces who detained them apparently showed no mercy. Russian President Vladimir Putin, in his address to the nation on Saturday, also said there will be no mercy for those who not only committed this crime, but also order it.
That was Alyosha Milenkovich in Moscow. Turning to the Middle East, the Palestinian Red Crescent says Israeli forces have besieged two more Gaza hospitals. This comes after Israel said it had captured 480 alleged Hamas fighters in an ongoing raid of the enclave's main al-Shifa hospital. Israel claims the hospitals are used by Hamas as bases, an accusation denied by Hamas and the medical staff. Meanwhile, Gaza's already catastrophic humanitarian crisis has been compounded by Israel's ban on the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency's food convoys to northern Gaza. Sam Mednick with the Associated Press has more from Jerusalem.
Attacks across Gaza's hospitals continued on Sunday, with Israel raiding hospitals in the southern city of Khan Yunis. They went into the Al Amal as well as the Nasser Hospital. And Israel said that it struck Hamas infrastructure and killed Hamas fighters at close range. The Palestinian Red Crescent said that they heard heavy and intense shelling in that area. Now, as these raids were going on, Israel was continuing its raid in the north of Gaza in the Al Shifa Hospital. This was its seventh day into this raid. Israel said that Hamas has regrouped there and is using it as a base. They said that since Monday when it began, they've killed more than 170 Hamas fighters and arrested hundreds more. Associated Press reporters spoke on Sunday to some of the people who had fled the raids. They described a week long of shelling as well as mass detentions and people having to walk over dead bodies. One man who was sheltering in the hospital said that there were bulldozers being plowed over ambulances, they were going over cars, and they were also going over bodies of people who had been killed during the raid. Israel has already invaded some of these places. They have attacked places that they are now returning to. And analysts say this just speaks to the resilience of Hamas and the challenges it is in combating them. Now, while these attacks are continuing, the humanitarian situation is becoming more and more catastrophic. On Sunday, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said that there needed to be an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. These comments from him came a day after he called the starvation in Gaza a moral outrage. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Palestinians in Gaza desperately need what has been promised, a flood of aid. Not trickles, not drops, but the only efficient and effective way to move heavy goods is by road. It requires an exponential increase in commercial goods. And I repeat, it requires an immediate humanitarian ceasefire.
Now, these comments came right before the United Nations says that Israel informed it that it was no longer going to accept convoys from the UN's Palestinian Refugee Agency to take assistance to the north of Gaza. The agency, which is known as UNRWA, Israel has long been railing against it, saying that it is collaborating with Hamas and also that it is perpetuating the decades-long refugee crisis. But UNRWA is the main actor in Gaza, and it is unclear how assistance is going to get to the north of Gaza. There's already very, very little assistance getting in at all, and particularly little assistance getting to the north, where aid groups have warned that there could be an imminent famine. There are some developments, however, that could see a ceasefire and hostage release potentially soon. This is according to people familiar with the talks. On Saturday, CIA Director Bill Burns put forth a new proposal in Doha, where these talks are taking place. It was said to bridge the gaps and address some of these sticking points. Israel agreed to the proposal, and it is now in Hamas's court to make a decision of what they want to do.
That was Sam Mednick reporting. Israel's military operation in and around the Al Shifa medical complex has been underway for nearly a week. Israel says it has killed more than 170 gunmen. Palestinian officials say at least five hospital patients have also been killed, and the number of arrests is in the hundreds. Nor Harazin has details of the civilian reaction toward the Israeli attack.
In the first week of November 2023, the Israeli army separated northern Gaza from southern Gaza. Although Israeli attacks are still continuing in all areas of the Strip, northern Gaza is still considered the most affected area that is exposed to intense Israeli operations on land, sea and air. Samah Murad and her family arrived in southern Gaza in mid-March after her life in the north became unbearable. They began to suffer from the malnutrition. Murad lost her daughter-in-law in an Israeli bombing on their home. Her son was injured, and she became the sole guardian of her grandchildren.
The reason for our recent displacement is severe suffering. My son is injured, and we could not find treatment for him in North Gaza. So we fled to the south in search of treatment or an opportunity to transfer my son for treatment in Egypt. We have been displaced for a week, and so far we have not found a doctor to treat him.
Most who left their homes in northern Gaza, hoping to find some safety in Rafah, have come to the same conclusion. There is no safe place in the Gaza Strip.
The situation in Gaza City was very difficult. The shelling was everywhere, and it doesn't stop. I fled with my family to Rafah for fear of the shelling. Unfortunately, we did not survive either, as a house next to our place of displacement was bombed, and we lost many of our family members.
The deteriorating humanitarian situation has tightened pressure on the Palestinians, who described this war as a war of starvation as well. The World Health Organization has warned of a famine in northern Gaza due to the lack of food resources and the limited entry of humanitarian aid.
I'm from North Gaza. For 3 months, we didn't find our food and drink easily. The shelter schools have not given us aid, and the prices are very high. My family consists of 20 people, and we don't know where to go and how to provide food. We live in a very difficult situation, and we can't even get food.
There are many ways to die in the Gaza Strip, from the direct Israeli raids and attacks to starvation and displacement, and also the spread of diseases amid a severe lack of medicine. All of these struggles leave Palestinians to wonder whether they will survive this war at all.
That was Noor Harazin reporting from Gaza. In Asia, Chinese Premier Li Qiang has addressed a high-level forum in Beijing, pledging that the country will take steps to promote high-quality development. He gave a keynote speech at the opening ceremony of this year's China Development Forum. The premier vowed efforts to intensify macro policy adjustments, expand domestic demand, and promote a new type of people-centered urbanization. Finance Minister Lan Fuan said the ministry will increase financial support for innovation, industrial upgrades, and the cultivation of future industries. He said the ministry will also focus on expanding profitable investments and driving potential consumer spending. For more on the China Development Forum, here's Zheng Chunying.
One of the biggest highlights is, of course, a panel discussion focusing on China's sustainable development, where the high-level official from China's Ministry of Commerce made a speech reiterating China's commitment to providing more opportunities for its global investors through macroeconomic policy, urbanization, and green transmission. She also stated that China plans to push forward the drive for equipment upgrading in many sectors, including industry, agriculture, and education, and even cultural and tourism. So again, China is sending a clear message to the world that we are opening up wider and wider, and we are seeking more opportunities with foreign enterprises. And there are indeed real demand here. And over 10 CEOs from foreign enterprises participate in this panel discussion, including many industry heavyweights. For example, the CEO of Simon, the CEO of Michelin Group, and the CEO of Mercedes-Benz, etc. And according to some of the foreign representatives, they are quite optimistic and confident about the outlook of China's economic growth, especially as China is promoting its so-called new quality productive forces. They are seeing more opportunities ahead for collaboration and cooperation in China's ongoing drive for industry upgrading.
That was Zheng Chunying on this year's China Development Forum. Finally, in the Americas, Honduras is celebrating 1 year of diplomatic relations with China in its capital, Tegucigalpa. The two countries concluded the fourth round of bilateral free trade agreement negotiations in Beijing last week. Paulo Cabral spoke with Honduran Foreign Minister Eduardo Reiner on a significant progress made in bilateral ties over the past year.
1 year of the establishment of diplomatic relations between China and Honduras, how do you assess this first year of this new relationship?
Well, I think it's a very positive year for the relations between the both peoples and countries. We have made a lot of advances in the relation. First of all, I think one is the access of Honduran products to China. Also, we have signed today an agreement with Ambassador Jubo here in Tegucigalpa for a grant that China is providing to Honduras of about $100 million at this phase, and at the end it will be almost $280 million that will be directed to the education process in Honduras. We are following up also the important step that China has took in the recent history to change the situation and to take out more than 400 million people from poverty. We also are moving things in investment, in other projects that we will develop in certain areas like technology, infrastructure. We are developing an interchange between government officials, seminars, media. So we are working very well. We will have called a very early crop and fruits of this relation, where the President Castro has decided to recognize the principle of one soul China, and also a very high level good relation between President Castro and President Xi Jinping. So we're very happy that we will get to this first years of productive diplomatic relations.
And the free trade agreement, what impacts could it have in Honduras, and is Honduras prepared to be a supplier of China? Because sometimes China has very big demands in terms of products. Are you prepared to be a supplier?
Well, we understand that, but this will open a great window of opportunity of Honduran products, and it will be a certain possibility of a market, and this certain possibility will have an impact in the products producers in Honduras, so they can program to develop their markets and possibilities to invest more in Honduras, to have more production, and to give more added value to the products in Honduras. So, and also we will have the possibility that investment of China's company in Honduras will be important.
That was Honduran Foreign Minister Eduardo Reiner on ties with China over the past year. Now, recapping today's headlines, Russian authorities say the number of people killed in the Moscow concert hall attack has risen to 137, and four suspects are now in pre-trial custody, all charged with committing an act of terrorism. Israel has banned the United Nations from delivering humanitarian aid into northern Gaza as its troops raid two more hospitals in the Palestinian enclave. And global CEOs, leaders of international organizations, and scholars have gathered in Beijing to discuss the development of China. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports, and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Qi Zhi. Thanks for listening.